You are listening to the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast, the number one podcast for moms just like you, raising autistic children. How are moms like us who didn't plan for this unique parenting journey, embracing life just as it is right now, instead of staying stuck, wishing, hoping, and dreaming it was different? That is the question. And Not Your Average Autism Mom is the answer. My name is Shannon Urkiola, and I have been traveling this journey for over 2 decades. I have been where you are. All right, stay with me and let's get on to this week's episode. Episode 158, Navigating Hygiene Struggles, Path to Cleanliness. Well, hello there, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Not Your Average Autism Mom podcast. I am Shannon Urkiola, and I am a life and parent coach dedicated to helping moms raising children on the autism spectrum navigate the unique challenges that we face. And today we have quite a popular topic to discuss, and that is teaching our children with autism personal hygiene skills. And I'm going to talk about these challenges, and I'm going to discuss some practical strategies and solutions to help them work towards independence in this area. And if you're one of our followers on social media, you know that we had a do-over in our house last week. And what I'll say is that hygiene in our homes is what I like to call a non-negotiable and always has been. And listen, each of us have our own non-negotiables, and this might not be yours, but it is for us. And I know that our members are laughing right now because they love it when I talk about the non-negotiables. But anyways, being clean is just a non-negotiable in our home. We don't do body odor or smelly people over here. And Jordan isn't a little one. He's 27. And yes, for me, for our path, I am still navigating him in this area. If it was left up to him, he would stand in the back of the shower, never get wet, and Lord knows putting shampoo on his head would never happen. So that, my friends, becomes my responsibility to teach him that it will be much easier on him to keep himself clean rather than me sitting him in the bathtub and washing him. And I know that nothing about that sounds appealing to you or to me, trust me, but he knows from experience. I am, while not a willing participant, I will absolutely do it if he is not keeping himself clean. And I know, I hear it all the time, oh, it's a boy thing. It's a teenage thing. So many children have a tough time keeping up with their hygiene habits, or they choose not to. And I mean, why spend time in the shower when you can be doing something you like to do instead, right? However, we know that for our children on the spectrum, it's oftentimes more than just a teenage thing or a boy or a girl thing or a they'll grow out of it thing. We know that developing these skills can be even more challenging due to our children's unique needs and characteristics. Think about all these things, and this is just to name a few. Fine motor skills deficits. That can make things like brushing their teeth, using mouthwash, or even just simple hand washing more challenging for children on the spectrum. And that can be frustrating for both you and your child. What about trouble navigating to an unpreferred activity? Children with autism often find it hard to focus on activities that they don't particularly enjoy, like bathing or grooming. I also believe that because of the fact that they don't pay attention to these things about other people around them, they don't think it's important. You know, no one will notice if my hair looks like a Brillo pad or if I shaved off one eyebrow. And yes, that was a real conversation in a real situation when Jordan was in middle school. That one was real fun. So see, if they don't notice if someone doesn't look put together or if they look disheveled, they don't think that other people notice it about them. And I mean, that makes sense. What about their executive functioning, right? Organization, self-reflection, all of that can be impaired, making it challenging for children on the spectrum to follow multi-step directions or complete multi-step activities. And hygiene routines often involve several steps. And for some of our kids, maybe even yours, that can feel overwhelming to them. Sensory issues also play a significant role. The feel of the water from the shower. I had a mom tell me one time that her son told her that the way the shower hit his body physically hurt him. Some toothpastes are too something, right? Or even the texture of a towel can be overwhelming for a child with sensory sensitivities. And again, their sensory challenges lead to resistance when it comes to personal hygiene. Receptive language issues, especially with complex directions, that can also pose a barrier. Children with autism may struggle to understand complex verbal instructions or have difficulty, again, with those multi-step directions, which happen in hygiene routines. So while all of these might not apply to your child or all children on the spectrum, it's essential to remember that individuals with autism have unique needs, and their journey to mastering hygiene skills should be like so many other things in their life, right? Specific to their needs, which are, as you know, very well sometimes one of a kind. You will have to individualize your approach. Every child is different, and what works for one may not work for another. Some children will respond well to verbal instructions, while others benefit from visual cues. So what are the personal hygiene skills that I'm talking about? Some examples are oral hygiene, right? Teeth brushing, using mouthwash, flossing, cleaning their body, taking a bath or a shower, hair care, washing their hair, hand washing at all the appropriate times, blowing their nose when it's needed. How many times have you said, "Do you have a Kleenex?" I promise I've said it thousands of times. Skincare, right? Especially as they get into teenage years, how are they taking care of their skin? Taking care of their fingernails, trimming, cleaning fingernails, cleaning toenails, cutting them, all of those things. I did plenty of that in the times that Jordan was sleeping through the years. And then if you have a daughter, think about, you know, managing their menstrual cycles. So now that we understand the challenges and the skills we want our children to develop, let's talk about some strategies to help them along the way. I think one of the most critical things that you can do in developing personal hygiene skills is to establish daily routines. Daily routines provide structure and predictability for our children, helping them know what to expect. And repetition and regular practice, those are keys to their skill development. It can make a significant difference in their ability to grasp and execute those hygiene tasks. So, as an example, maybe you set a specific time each day for teeth brushing every morning after breakfast at 8:30. You know, we do Listerine Zero, which has been a lifesaver for us. There's no alcohol in it. And Jordan Listerines twice a day. And I promise you, through the years, that has saved us from cavities because he is not a good toothbrusher still. And he goes to the dentist every 3 months to get his teeth clean. The next thing is visual supports. Those are another invaluable tool. Visual supports like visual schedules or charts can be so helpful and such great tools for our kids on the spectrum. Think about it. They create exactly what so many of our children crave: structure, guidance, and all of that helps to reduce their stress and anxiety, which often accompany learning new skills. Temple Grandin was a guest in our private membership earlier this year, and she talked about a pilot's checklist. She is a huge proponent of checklists for our kids. She shared with us that pilots to this day have checklists, and she highly recommends that as we teach our children these skills and when they get a job or job coaches, that they have checklists. So what are some ways that you can use visual supports? Well, you could make a morning routine chart that your child could follow, or create a daily schedule that they can refer to. Develop step-by-step instructions for hygiene skills, like brushing teeth, to break down each activity for them to see and follow. And you can be as creative or basic as you want to be. You can include pictures representing specific steps, videos demonstrating the activity, or written schedules and routines. That just depends on who you are. I'm pretty basic around here. We used a whiteboard with prompts for years. Nothing fancy. The other thing you want to do is providing and fading prompts. So prompting and fading prompts play a big role in teaching independence. A prompt is a tool or action that helps your child complete a task or demonstrate a behavior. And it could be verbal, physical, visual, but it should be used strategically to guide them through the process. It's important that you use prompts effectively and strategically fade them to promote that independence. So, for example, maybe you point to the items needed for toothbrushing as a gesture prompt. Physically assist your child when washing their hair in the bath as a physical prompt. Or verbally guide them through changing, you know, their hygiene, a female's sanitary napkin as a verbal prompt. You want to employ physical prompts like assisting a child in washing their hair or body during a bath. Now, for older children and teens, you want to make sure that you're ensuring privacy, especially during more sensitive tasks like managing periods for girls. Using prompts can make learning less frustrating and more manageable for our kids. However, it's essential to consider how to fade those prompts over time, because the goal is to reduce your child's reliance on them. You don't want them to rely on those prompts all the time. So you want to reduce them, which allows them to become more independent in performing those tasks. Ultimately, you want them to do the task with minimal or no prompting eventually. But remember too, they are on their own timeline. If you are getting frustrated, I want you to remind yourself of one of my favorite sayings. Frustration is that place between expectation and reality. Stop and question what your expectations are in that moment, and you may need to reevaluate based on truth and where you and your child are right now. Another important thing I want to mention too is that older children and teens, look, they require privacy. So be respectful of their needs for those kind of things. And now let's talk about how to balance independence with the need for supervision, right? While we aim for independence, we also have to be mindful of privacy. You can still assist older children in the bath or shower if necessary, but prioritize their safety by being present. However, offer as much privacy as possible and consider only having one person helping if it's safe and if it's possible. And like I said earlier, y'all, I would without a doubt take Jordan at 27 and put him in the bathtub if he was not getting himself clean. And believe me, I check because, yep, you know, that's a non-negotiable in our home. He is clean. Plain and simple. And if he isn't, we have a do-over. And because he knows that I would absolutely give him a bath, the do-over always does wonders. Personal hygiene skills are essential for all children, and it's no different for kids on the spectrum. While these skills can be challenging to learn, I want you to know that with the right support, all children, including those with autism, can improve their ability to care for themselves and their hygiene. Start establishing those daily routines, put together some visual supports, and provide and fade prompts to guide them towards more independence. And here's the thing, don't not do it because it's hard. Because when you do that, every day that passes, every year that passes, when you've let things go, it's harder. If you have questions or need further assistance, reach out to professionals like your OT or your ABA therapist. They can provide expert guidance tailored to your child's specific needs. Remember, you're not alone on this journey, and together we can help our children thrive. Thank you so much for spending time with me today. I hope that you found these insights helpful and some strategies that you can start implementing and encouraging you to get moving in the right direction. And listen, if you found this helpful, please share it with others who might also benefit from it and take 2 minutes to leave us a review. Until next time, take care and remember, above all, you, Mama, are doing amazing at this mom thing. Hey, so if you're loving what you're learning on the podcast, I want to ask you to take a minute and write a review. That's how we reach more moms just like us. And that is how you can pay it forward to help another mom who might be struggling right now. I also want to invite you to check out our Not Your Average Autism Mom membership. That's where we dive deeper into all the topics we discuss on the podcast and where you can get individual help and learn coaching tools that will make your life better every day. When you become Not Your Average Autism Mom, you take on an identity with an incredible community of women across the globe, all raising autistic children who all show up to show the world they are Not Your Average Autism Mom. It's my favorite place to be, so head on over to the website, www.notyouraverageautismmom.com, to find out all the details. And listen, if we're not open for new members right now, make sure you join the wait list so you're the first to know when we open. We hope you do. We would love to work with you inside.